Brooklyn's Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 2nd of October. I'm Graham Laycock, taking a look at this week's local news stories in Surrey from the Surrey Advertiser and Surrey Live. First, a look at this week's headlines. Spelthorne taken off the COVID-19 watch list. A man has been charged with attempted murder in Claygate. And concern over changes to the Esher Road linking Hersham and Esher. Spelthorne has been taken off the national COVID-19 watch list and is no longer an area of concern. The government made the announcement after the borough's coronavirus infection rate more than halved. It is now 25 cases per 100,000 people compared with 53.4 per 100,000 when Health Secretary Matt Hancock put Spelthorne on the list almost 2 weeks ago. Ruth Hutchinson, Surrey's Director of Public Health, said people in Spelthorne have done a brilliant job in bringing the infection rates down in the borough. There's obviously been a tremendous effort to follow the guidelines and this proves it works. Spelthorne was the first area in the southeast to be put on the watch list after the on September the 18th. There had been concern residents would have to follow stricter measures such as those in Bolton where different households are banned from meeting anywhere. Ms. Hutchinson said she didn't want people to become complacent. She said, "I cannot emphasise enough how important it is that people keep up the good work. We are at a crucial point for Surrey and the rest of the country, and we need to keep infection rates under control. There are no shortcuts when it comes to protecting ourselves, our loved ones and the NHS. She urged people to keep washing their hands and wearing face coverings and reminded that no one should be getting together in groups of more than six. The situation can change quickly, so let's all play our part to make sure that life can continue as normal as possible," she said. Now, anyone with coronavirus symptoms, persistent cough, high fever or a change in smell or taste should book a test by calling 119 or by visiting nhs.co.uk/coronavirus. Slots are made available the evening before for morning appointments and in the morning for afternoon appointments. And another 42 cases of coronavirus were recorded in Surrey in the 24 hours ending Thursday, according to the latest figures published by Public Health England. Elmbridge saw the biggest increase of the second day running with 7 new cases, while there were 6 in Guildford. 4 new infections were confirmed in Spelthorne, which remains an area of concern for officials. Every area of the county recorded new cases, with the total number of confirmed infections across Surrey since the start of the pandemic now reaching 6,085. New deaths recorded at Frimley Health NHS Foundation Trust on September the 27th and 29th. Now, a breakdown of coronavirus cases by Surrey District and boroughs. Elmbridge had an increase of 7 to 618. Epsom and Ewell up by 2 to 419, Guildford increased by 6 to 706, Mole Valley increase of 4 to 396, Reigate and Banstead increase of 3 to 916, Runnymede increase of 1 to 455, Spelthorne up 4 to 503, Surrey Heath went up by 2 to 535, Tandridge increased by 5 to 418, Waverley increase 4 to 618 and Woking increase of 4 to 501. And a breakdown of deaths recorded per trust operating in Surrey. Frimley Heath Foundation Trust 372, an increase of 2. Epsom St Helier University Hospital 277. Surrey and Sussex Healthcare 260. Ashford and St Peter's 194. Royal Surrey at Guildford 98. Woking Community Hospital 1, Nuffield Health Woking 1, Mount Alverna, Guildford 2, Woking Community Hospital 4 and St Magnus Hazelmere 2. A man has been charged with attempted murder following an attack on a woman in a Surrey village. Surrey Police was called to Telegraph Lane in Claygate at around 1:15pm on Monday following reports of the incident. The victim suffered serious head injuries in the attack and was taken to hospital for further treatment. A police cordon remained in place for a number of hours. On Thursday evening, police confirmed that a man had been charged with multiple offences in relation to the attack, including attempted murder. Max Robinson from Claygate has been charged with attempted murder, possession of an offensive weapon in a public place, possession of a bladed article in a public place, and assault by beating of an emergency worker. The 22-year-old remains in custody and is set to attend a hearing at Guildford Magistrates Court today, Friday. South East Coast Ambulance Service previously confirmed they attended the scene following reports of an assault, taking one person to hospital with serious injuries. Residents have expressed concern over pedestrian safety and traffic due to the road changes that are being trialled along the dual carriageway linking Esher and Hersham. The changes have been proposed by Surrey County Council as part of its Active Travel Fund, which it says aims to improve the county's provision for cyclists and walkers after numbers surged as a result of lockdown. The Esher Road changes propose to reduce the dual carriageway, the A244, to a single lane in each direction. The extra space to be used to create a wider cycle lane, and the scheme also includes installing 3 pedestrian crossing points. However, the proposals have divided residents. While some have welcomed the wider lane for cyclists, others argue the single lanes cannot cope with the traffic levels, and they argue the pedestrian crossings do not go far enough to ensure residents can cross safely. On Surrey County Council's website, residents are invited to have their say on the proposal. So far, the Esher Road plans have accumulated more than 1,700 comments. There is little disagreement that Esher Road is in need of a pedestrian crossing. In December 2017, a pedestrian was knocked down and killed by a motorcyclist as he crossed the dual carriageway. The victim was 63-year-old Peter Stevens, who had been returning home following a day at the races with his family. Following the incident, Mr. Stevens' daughter and her family launched a petition which asked Surrey County Council for a safe pedestrian crossing, and that gained nearly 3,000 signatures. Although the active travel proposal includes 3 installed near each of the bus stops along the road, there are concerns that uncontrolled crossings do not give drivers warning that there could be people in the road. Initially in support of the scheme, Hersham Village Society Councillor Roy Green has since withdrawn his backing. He said, "I withdrew my support because I didn't think it would work. I think the 3 pedestrian crossings on the road are going to be highly dangerous for people, especially the elderly." An independent councillor for Hersham for 41 years, Councillor Green, said a pelican crossing is the only way to make it safe for people to cross the road, and speed cameras as people drive along there as if it's a motorway. "I've lived here all my life and have watched the road grown from a small country road to a motorway." He also said the extra traffic produced by reducing the road from 2 lanes to 1 in each direction is causing danger to local residents. The residents' points were put to Surrey Council, and a spokesman reiterated the scheme is under constant review. They said, "We have not yet created the 3 pedestrian crossings as we wanted to see the impact of the scheme before they were constructed. We've already changed the scheme to help reduce congestion. We're keeping the scheme under constant review to decide how long the trial should continue before deciding the next steps for the scheme. If the new crossings are constructed, they will be pedestrian refuge islands. The changes to help reduce congestion refer to the council modifying a longer 2-lane section on the approach to Princess Alice Roundabout from Hersham." Hundreds of thousands of pounds of taxpayers' money was wasted on Surrey County Council's bid to create a unitary authority before the government apparently changed its mind about wanting them. The county's 11 district and borough councils want to be scrapped and rolled into one giant council controlling all public services, in the plans being spearheaded by County Council leader Tim Oliver. The government had previously said it wanted more unitary authorities as part of its plans to reform local government. But earlier this month, a leaked email from Councillor Oliver to members of the Conservative group at the County Council said Number 10 no longer wished to consider a restructure of local authorities as part of its devolution white paper, which had been expected in the next few months. The government has not yet responded to Surrey County Council seeking clarity over its bid, and without government support, Councillor Oliver privately admitted the bid is effectively dead, but not before a huge amount of public money was spent. As well as Surrey County Council's outlay, the 11 boroughs and districts approved a combined £300,000 budget for consultancy fees to research an alternative proposal for their own. They suggested multiple unitaries rather than one monster authority, as the Liberal Democrats called it. They have already spent some, but not all, of this budget. Will Forster, a county and borough councillor for Woking, condemned Surrey County Council for prematurely spending money. He said, what a waste of money this has been, not only for the County Council, but also the Surrey's boroughs and district councils, whose much smaller budgets already stretched to the limit, having to deliver extra services during the pandemic. Councillor Oliver rejected the suggestion the money had been wasted, saying the work done had been highly valuable, whether or not any reorganisation takes place in the future. He said the money spent on research looking at more effective community engagement and the structure of local government in Surrey will be essential to our future work, particularly on local community networks, regardless of any reorganisation. It has been proved valuable insight into upcoming challenges across Surrey and provided useful feedback from residents, which was mostly positive. He said the County Council had shared work with districts and boroughs, and the decision to spend further money on similar activity was entirely their own. Nick Prescott, chair of the Surrey Leaders Group, representing the districts and boroughs, said all was far from lost with the money set aside in the lower tier councils, although he didn't reveal how much had been spent so far. He said a very strong proportion had not been spent and will not be spent unless momentum of the unity debate starts again. They have instructed consulting firm KPMG to instead look into forging closer relationship with Surrey County Council, parish and town councils and neighbourhood forums. A letter addressed to Boris Johnson leaked to The Guardian this week from the Conservative group head of the County Council's network warned that delaying the abolition of the small councils would not be helpful for their party. According to The Guardian, David Williams wrote, "It is no surprise to me that many of those celebrating reports of delays are Labour and Liberal Democrat district councillors who regard the prospect of strong county-based unitaries as threats to their strongholds. Conservative representation at the county level remains strong, but even in solidly conservative counties like Surrey, only just over a third of local councillors within the district and borough councils are conservatives." Councillor Oliver said the leaked private email to Surrey Conservatives, "I will confirm the position for definite if and when Jenrick answers my letter, but quite why this government keeps starting fires and then walking away, I really don't know. Disappointing." A petition pleaded with Surrey Fire and Rescue Service not to be a cross your fingers and hope nothing bad happens service. But despite being asked by 6,090 people to reconsider cutting nighttime crews, Surrey Fire and Rescue Service is pressing ahead with the second phase of its Making Surrey Safer plan, which has now been validated by an independent review. Banstead, Painshill and Egham fire stations will lose their nighttime crews from October and rely on neighbouring stations between 7pm and 7am. Surrey County Council Cabinet was presented with a petition by author and screenwriter Emma Kennedy on Tuesday, who said cutting firefighters' engines and nighttime cover doesn't make Surrey safer. "Our fire service shouldn't be a cross your fingers and hope nothing bad happens service. It should be an insurance service with resources that are ready at all times." Denise Turner-Stewart, Surrey County Council's Cabinet Member for Community, said prevention and protection saves lives by preventing incidents from happening in the first place. Miss Kennedy responded, "Risk-based cover is essentially meaningless when 75% fatalities occur between 6pm and 9am. Serious fires happen without warning and no amount of prevention is going to save anyone once a fire has started." The plan has been scrutinised and assured by the National Fire Chiefs Council Advisory Group, reviewed by inspectors at Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services, externally verified by data and modelling specialist CADCORP, and now given full assurance by Brynjolfs University. In their report, published on Tuesday, they said they could assure Phase 2 subject to Surrey Fire and Rescue creating a detailed communications plan in a single document that specifically relates to Phase 2. Ms Kennedy told Surrey County Council's Cabinet that the Brynjolfs report relied on statistics from March and April this year when Surrey was in lockdown with little road traffic. "You can't make good decisions based on bad data," she said. Out of 31 days in August, Surrey residents went 27 days and 20 evenings without sufficient fire engine cover. Neighbouring counties had to be called in to Chobham Common to cover Surrey's failings, and this year there have been 388% increase in London Fire Brigade having to attend in Surrey. Surrey now has the lowest number of fire and rescue personnel per 100,000 of population. Councillor Turner-Stewart said, "Our main objective is to ensure that incidents do not happen in the first place, which the Making Surrey Safer plan addresses by rebalancing resources. In an emergency, however, we will always respond to an incident. She said Surrey Fire and Rescue Services are equipped and resourced to manage a very broad range of fire and rescue incidents on a daily basis, 24/7. And that completes our look at stories in Surrey this week. This has been Brooklands Radio Surrey News Review with Graham Laycock. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1pm and 7pm on Brooklands Radio, and you can keep up to date with the Surrey Advertiser and at Surrey Live.